What did the man think he needed most? Healing in his body. What did Jesus know he needed most? Forgiveness in his soul. See, here's what Jesus is saying. I've got to clean you up on the inside before I heal you up on the outside.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you're with us as we continue the message, Tear the Roof Off. And Pastor, even though this man needed physical healing, as you point out, he needed healing of the soul first. But sometimes I think some of us get hesitant to come to God because we feel like we need to have the inside cleaned up before we can come to him. That's not the way it works.
No, it's not. Well, think about it. It's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. I'm getting ready to go to the doctor. I'm sick, but I'm going to wait because I'm going to go to the doctor. And I go to the doctor. Hey, Dr. Hiller, good to see you today. You're going to ask me,
what's wrong? Why are you here?
Well, nothing. Everything's okay now. I waited till I got well to come see you.
And I would kick you out of my office.
You better believe it. And you would send me to your psychiatrist,
right, friend. Exactly, right.
What is wrong with you? You come to the doctor because you are sick, because it's the doctor's job to make you well. And we know about the great physician. He's not a general practitioner. He's a specialist in every area. And we need to go to him. Why? Because he has Walgreens in the hem of his garment. All we have to do, like the woman with the issue of blood, is touch the hem of his garment, will be made whole. There is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin sick soul. Now, very quickly, you know, when I studied that passage, you know what I found out? That balm does not grow in Gilead. It has to be imported. Wow. And it's a balm that's taken from a tree in Gilead where they cut the tree and allow the sap to ooze, and they make the balm from the sap and then import it. Isn't that a picture of the gospel?
It is.
It sure is, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his life-giving blood shed for us on the cross, and he was imported. He wasn't from the inner city called earth. He was imported from the suburbs called heaven. And the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men and women may become the sons of God. We couldn't go up, so he came down. And now that he came down, we can go up. I'm ready to take the offering.
All right. Well, we're not going to do that quite yet, but we are going to open our Bibles and really get into today's message. We're Mark chapter 2 with a message entitled Tear the Roof Off. Here's Pastor Ford.
So then we said opposition to Jesus' favor, that's their effort. Now let's go on. Notice secondly, not just their effort, notice their effectiveness in verse 5. Here it is. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That'll shout you without any explanation if you see that. What's going on here, Pastor Ford? It says, when Jesus saw their faith. Man, it is visible faith. It is vicarious faith. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me just back up. It says he saw their faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. There are 1,000 ways to please God, but none of them apart from faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All you got to do is be seeking him. You don't even have to find him. Just be looking for him. Why? Because if you're looking for him, that means you're walking. You're exercising faith. It says that Jesus saw their faith, and you can't please God without it. What is faith? Okay, faith is believing what you know ain't so. Yeah, faith is living like God's telling the truth, even when your circumstances are calling him a liar. Faith gives you insight into foresight like it's hindsight. You remember that. Faith trusts an unknown future to a well-known God. Faith, come on, say it with me. You ought to know it by now. Come on, my favorite. Come on, I worked hard on it. Come on, let's go. Faith is believing it is so, even when it's not so, until it becomes so because God said so. Amen. So faith is visible. He saw it. They didn't say it. Nobody's speaking here. Nobody's declaring anything. They didn't decree and declare. They're not going to get a miracle. They didn't decree and declare. But Jesus saw their faith. How did he see it? Well, first of all, four guys carried a man from a distance on a pallet. Then when they couldn't get in the house, they carried the man up to the side on a small stairs on top of the roof. Then they tore the roof off the sucker. Then they put ropes on four corners of the pallet and lowered him down in front of Jesus. See, that's the kind of thing that we need. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And listen, they let him down right in front of Jesus. You don't want to know why? Because we ain't worried about this crowd. I don't care what everybody else do. I want to see Jesus. And listen, when I got to get to Jesus, ain't no devil in hell going to stop me from getting to Jesus, because I know that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help me in time of need. So I'm going to go where I know I can get some help. Man. Yeah, why? Because faith cuts the T's off a can't and turns it into can. Now get this. The man on the pallet didn't get healed because he had faith. The man on the pallet got healed because his four friends had faith. Now we broached the subject last week. In other words, somebody can get saved on your faith. Oh yeah, somebody can get saved on your faith. Yeah. Lot got saved out of Sodom because Abraham prayed. Paul was on a ship, and those people, all the people on the ship got saved because Paul's faith. Okay, let me show you what happened to me. You got to understand what God does. Here's what God does. The man is the head of the home. Amen. Amen. But God leveled the playing field. Now, let me tell you how God leveled the playing field. He said, I will make for him an easer. Now, some of you know this already, but I want to use that as a backdrop so you understand what I'm saying. Some people never heard it, all right? Now, you done heard it twice, but that's okay. Some people ain't never heard it once. So then, what's the word? Easer, not skeezer, easer. I will make for him an easer, which means she's a complement and a completer. Now, in the noun form, you remember this, in the noun form, how many people are called easer in the Old Testament? Just two. Who are they? God and the wife. Now, here's what the principle is teaching. There are some blessings that will only come to the family through the wife. And the husband, who is not rightly related to his wife, can miss out on a blessing that God wants to bring to the family through the wife. Now, you could read 1 Peter 3:7, because it says, husband, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto her as the weaker vessel and being joint heirs of Jesus Christ, that your prayers be not hindered. He's saying, if you mad at your wife, you don't pray to me. Your prayers have more rubber than Goodyear. Now, why'd you share that? Because my lovely wife here, she showed me something about how your faith can do something. Here's what happened. We wanted to move. And we were living in Escanaba on the DMZ between the Kings, the Latin Kings, and between the Gangster Disciples. And it was time for us to move. We lived there 11 years, and we say we want to be like the Jefferson, move up a little bit. So we wanted to move away. So we went and was an unrelated event and saw this house. And she walked in, looked around to this man's house and said, this is the house that God has given me. I said, come on, we can't even afford this house. Way beyond our income. To which she replied, God told me this is my house. And I'm trying to talk rationally to this woman, and she telling me what God told her. I said, this is not going to happen. Then she told me this. She said, remember, and I preached this somewhere else, you tell the roof off the suck. She said, remember that? Where you said that the man got healed because of the four, and he was on the pallet? I said, yeah. She said, when preacher, get on my pallet. I said, get on your pallet? She said, get on my pallet. And so I said, all right. Okay, we'll see what happened. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through blow, blah, blow, but I can tell you this. There were six things that happened that to me were impossible. Here's what she did. She said, Sunday, I need to speak to the women. I said, oh, wait a minute. You know, because, you know, it's a dangerous thing to give Sister Ford the mic. I said, okay, what you going to say? You'll hear it. And I said, Lord, please don't let me lose the church. So anyway, she said, ladies, I need you to do two things for me. I've seen my house, and God told me he's going to give it to me. I'm saying to myself, oh, Lord, now she's spreading that heresy to everybody. You know, she said, two things, pray for me. And then she said, if you have any boxes, just give them to me because I'm starting to pack. So in January, she started packing. We saw the house on Friday. She told the women on Sunday. She started packing on Monday. And I'm saying, baby, she said, get on my pallet. And boom, 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 those six things happened. And we got the house. And let me tell you what I did. When the first thing happened, I said, oh, hey, baby, guess what happened? The price came down. She said, you're surprised, but I'm not because God told me it's mine. And so I was laying on the pallet, but I got up on my elbows. Then the second thing that happened, we needed a certain amount of money, which we did not have. And you gave it to us. Now I'm up on my knees on the pallet. Then the last thing I got to tell you this, we needed another 15 grand. And, once if you were a good member and you leave, I follow you wherever you go. I call you and everything. And so I was calling a couple that were a CEO here and the company moving down to Jackson. And my family reunion was in Monticello. I called them up and said, can I come down a day early and stay with you guys? They said, yeah. And so we're in the restaurant eating, and I was telling them about all this thing that God was doing. I said, there's one hurdle, and we only got 5 days. I said, I don't know how God's going to do it, but we need $15,000. He said, you got your cell? I said, yeah. He said, call Sister Ford. I said, you want to talk to her? He said, no, I want you to talk to her. I said, you want me to talk to her? You want to tell her, hi? Hey, baby, I'm down here with the Smiths. They want me to say hi to you. He said, I ain't said nothing about saying no hi. I said, well, what do you want me to tell her? Tell her she has the money. Pulled out his checkbook and wrote me a check for $15,000. And we living in something that we couldn't afford. Now, my point is this. Why you share all that Easter stuff? Because there was a blessing that she believed for that I didn't believe for. But for the last 12 years, I've been living large on somebody else's faith. Yeah, making it on somebody else's quarter. That's what's going on here.
We're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Tear the Roof Off. We're going to get back to that in just one moment. But if you ever want to hear Pastor Ford speak live, you're in the Chicago area and you want to visit Christ Bible Church of Chicago, get all the information you need by coming to the website and clicking on the About link. There's also a link to the church's website on the Stay Connected bar, and that's a really useful bar to check out. Not only can you be linked to Christ Bible Church of Chicago and find out more about Pastor Ford, but you'll also find links there to our Facebook page, to our Twitter feed, and a link that will allow you to download the Moody Radio app so you can listen to Pastor Ford's teaching on the go. Again, come to treasuredtruthradio.org and look for the Stay Connected bar. Let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
Yeah, and now this is not saving faith, it's sustaining faith. It is supplying faith. What's the difference, Pastor Ford? Glad you asked. Saving faith, it converts you to Christ. But sustaining faith, it gives you confidence in Christ. So saving faith holds you, but sustaining faith or supplying faith, you hold it. So saving faith brings earth to heaven, and sustaining faith brings heaven to earth. So then, saving faith governs your position, but sustaining faith determines your condition, so that in saving faith, we get the pardon that Jesus supplies to you, but in sustaining faith, you get the promises that Jesus said to you. So what will faith do? Faith will make you steady on stuff that you used to slide on. Faith will make you over stuff that you used to be under. Faith will make you included in stuff that you used to be left out of. Faith will make you up on stuff that used to get you down, and faith will bring you stuff you thought you could never have. So this man is healed because of their faith. Now, notice something. This is powerful. First of all, there's a word of fellowship, son. Second of all, there's a word of forgiveness. Now, I wish I could take time for that, but I'm not going to take time for that. There's a lot of theology and a lot of teaching in there, but I'm going to go and just get to the point. Now, if you were the four guys, you done went through all of this, you lower him down, and Jesus says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. You know what you're going to say? Come on now, because the flesh is always the first response. You're going to say, man, we ain't go through all that for this. We brought him to be healed. Have you ever prayed and you're wondering, how long is he going to take with this thing? That these individuals had to overcome that delay. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, delay does not mean denial. Yeah, here's what he's doing. Get this. What did the man think he needed most? Healing in his body. What did Jesus know he needed most? Forgiveness in his soul. See, here's what Jesus is saying. I've got to clean you up on the inside before I heal you up on the outside. Come on now, somebody. Yeah, Jesus gives the man what he needs first and not what he wants. So in other words, you don't know what you need sometimes. That's what Romans 8 says. It says that the Holy Spirit prays for us with utterance that cannot be uttered because we don't even know how to pray as we are. And some of you can attest to it. You can look back in hindsight, which is always 20/20. Thank God he didn't give me that woman. Thank God he didn't give me that man. I pray for him. Oh, Lord, please, please give them to me. And God said, I can't give them to you because you think they're a dream. But I know that they'll turn your dream in the nightmare, your little house on the prairie, in the nightmare on Elm Street. Please, please, my life will be miserable without them. God said, I'm keeping them from you because you don't know it, but your life will be miserable with them. I know I'm speaking to at least two or three people in here. And so this is not what we came for. But Jesus says, inside first, let me get the soul right, then the body. I'm going to deal with the cause, then the effect. Because this man was sick because of sin. That's what the text reveals. Now get this. I thought about this. What if his four friends had known that the reason that he is paralyzed is because of sin? Would they have gone through all of that trouble? Well, let me ask you this. Pookie Nim, Ray Ray Nim, in your family, banging, drugging, drinking, do you minister to them? They went to jail. Did you say, make your bed hard, you got to lie in it? What goes around comes around. You reap? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Jesus says, listen, this guy got issues. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows what you really need? So they had to overcome the adoration of Jesus' friends. They had to overcome the opposition to Jesus' favor. Now notice this. They had to overcome the hateration of Jesus' foes. Look at 6 and 7. He said, to get this man healed, they had to overcome all of this. Why? Because you only have victory in what you vanquished. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now get this. That's right. That's right, Deke. That's right. You hit the nail on the head, buddy. Now notice this. They're haters. How do you know they're haters? This man. That's kind of like you people. A racial slur if I ever heard one. You people. What do you mean, you people? What about you people? So they're haters. And I already told you, this man, that's a term of deprecation. They trying to put him down, this man. Okay, this man. This man speak blasphemies. You know, it's the language of belittlement. That's what hater, listen, you always know that somebody hating when they use the word little. Girl, we don't hang no more since you got your little boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yo, dog, you don't hit me up on the celly no more since you got your little car. Yeah, you know, we don't kick it like we used to since you got your little promotion, your little raise. Yeah. Well, you don't invite me over anymore since you got your little house. Haters, it's an old McDonald's situation. Here a hater, there a hater, everywhere a hater, hater. But this is what you got to know. You got to understand. Now, why were they hating him? Two reasons here. They were hating on Jesus' words, which were words of grace in his proclamation. You're forgiven. They were hating on Jesus' worth because of his God prerogative. He's God in the flesh, like Deacon said. But you got to understand this. I remember I did a sermon entitled Shake Your Haters Off. Oh, David. Now get this. Who hated on David? Let me tell you who hated on David. First, his daddy hated on him. Remember when Samuel came and said, one of your boys is going to be the next king of Israel. He brought his seven boys before him, and none of them were the ones. And Samuel said, these aren't the ones. And they were all handsome, look on the outward appearance. He said, you got another one? He said, yeah, David, but he out there with them sheep. His daddy hating on him. Isn't it a shame when your own family has no confidence in you and tell you you're going to be just like your daddy, going to be just like your mama, you ain't going to be nothing?
Well, unfortunately, too many of us can relate to that, huh? You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, and a helpful look at, okay, if that is your reality, if that's your case, what do you do with that? Our passage that we've really been drilling down in is from Mark chapter 2 and a message called Tear the Roof Off. We're going to continue this next time on the broadcast, but if you want to go back and listen to anything you missed, I do hope you'll stop by our website. You can listen to programs online when you come to treasuretruthradio.org.
Yeah, Steve, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you and your wife have a budget?
We do. We try to stick to it. Why?
Well, we all need to practice wise financial habits. And just like you and those who are listening, Moody Radio has to operate on a budget to ensure that we're good stewards of the resources that God provides. And it's so helpful for us to know and to be able to plan our budget based on monthly giving to help us with this process. You can become a monthly partner today.
Yeah, really easy to become a monthly partner. Just come to the website. It is treasuredtruthradio.org. You're going to see a link there that talks about supporting Moody Radio or donating to Moody Radio. Click on that. And we are really asking you to consider becoming a monthly partner. It really does help Treasured Truth and Moody Radio be better stewards of what God is entrusting to us. So come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on that donate link. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our Bible teacher, Pastor Ford, and our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.